are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I'm your host, Jake Mastriani, and you can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, Vinny Rotino. You can follow him on Twitter as well at Vinny Rotino. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you get notified whenever we post a new episode every day of the week. If you haven't gone back and checked out the episodes this past week, please do so. I accidentally forgot to post one on Tuesday, so I posted it almost a day late. So make sure you go back and listen to that one on Brandon Woodruff's good start for Monday. Today we will be recapping Wednesday's game, a tough loss for the Brewers, and get some of our takeaways in there. A lot to really dive into. Obviously, a close game. There's always key things here or there that make or break a game that really want to key in on and talk about. Before we do that, let me remind you, this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me the next time I go live during a Brewers game, and make sure you follow me in the Locker Room app at shortstopball. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Let's start with a little bit of news. Actually, that's some pretty significant news. Really, after Tuesday's game, the Brewers traded Billy McKinney to the Mets for 17-year-old lefty Pedro Quintana. A pretty solid return there for McKinney. I mean, you get a lottery ticket and a 17-year-old lefty. Lefties, you know, have a pretty good track record of sticking around in baseball if they're able to throw a little bit. So like that deal, obviously, be able to get something for McKinney. Wasn't really expecting much there, but the Mets got a lot of injuries going on, so desperate for some help in the outfield, and Brewers are able to take advantage and get a lottery ticket and 17-year-old lefty and Pedro Quintana. That's a good deal there. And then the big news was Josh Lindblom getting DFA'd. I don't know necessarily surprised, but the fact that the Brewers still owe him over $4 million as he was signed to the 2022 season makes it pretty big news in my mind. It sounds like the Brewers feel confident he'll remain with the team and accept a minor league assignment where he'll be able to get regular reps. And Vinny, we talked about this before, you know, guys coming over from the KBO, you know, you said typically pitchers who do well over there translate better coming to the States, but that hasn't been the case for Lindblom.
Lindblom has struggled because he hasn't been able to really command any of his pitches. I think the guys that go over to Korea, come back over, have really kind of learned how to pitch and use all their stuff. I mean, I think Lindblom 5 or 6 pitches, and you know, guys like Vogelsong, but I know he went to Japan. They go over far east and they learn to just command all their stuff and learn how to throw every pitch in any count. And I haven't seen that from Lindblom. I know he doesn't have the big fastball, but he just has never shown the ability to really command all of his stuff. I think that's why he struggled.
Yeah, so certainly not a great go of things in Milwaukee. Very unfortunate. Again, he still owed a good bit of money, but the Brewers went ahead and DFA'd him, kind of ending that part of their journey together. But again, the Brewers are hopeful that they'll still get him back and be able to keep him in the minor league level as some insurance starting pitching wise. They did call up Eric Lauer to start Wednesday's game, and obviously we'll get into that more later, but that was kind of a corresponding move there. And the Brewers were able to hang on to Jace Peterson, who was outrighted to Nashville after being DFA'd last week. So good news there. Brewers able to hang on to another utility infielder, keep that depth there in the minor league level. But let's jump into Wednesday's game. Another really good pitcher's duel in this one. We talked about it on Wednesday's podcast. Chris Paddock has been pitching much better for the Padres lately, and he showed it in this one with another really solid performance. The Padres got runners on second and third with one out in the first inning, and it looked like things were going to go sideways for Lauer really early and possibly get ugly. And Tatis just barely missed hitting a 3-run homer, but instead got a sac fly to give the Padres an early 1-0 lead. But Lauer was able to limit the damage to that, which was huge for him, and a little bit of a momentum shift. And Lauer really settled in after that. He didn't allow more than one base runner in any inning after that burst, and he ended up going six innings. So another really solid start for Lauer, which I want to talk about more later. And it was Lauer who got the Brewers on the board, took matters into his own hand with the struggling Brewers offense, and hit a solo home run in the third to make it a 1-1 game. Before that, in the second inning, though, Omar Narvaez led off the inning with a double, but was stranded thanks to some great defense, most notably by Jake Cronenworth. Again, anybody with the name Jake, you know they're going to be awesome. But Jake made a great diving catch to rob Willy Adames of an RBI single, which, again, would have tied the game up there in the second. And maybe Lauer comes up that inning and hits a multi-run homer bomb. Who knows? But anyway, great play from Cronenworth, robbed Adames. That ball was hit really hard as well, which is kind of a theme of this game. That ball off the bat of Adames was hit 101.3 miles an hour, had an expected batting average of 820. So again, really great play by Cronenworth to rob Adames. The Brewers offense really didn't threaten again until the ninth inning, when Kane singled and Yelich walked to put two on with nobody out. But then Manny Pena popped up and Keston Hira struck out. And then Travis Shaw squared one up, but hit it right to Jerickson Profar. That one left the bat at 102 miles an hour, had an expected batting average of 680. So again, more great defense by the Padres in this game, robbing the Brewers of an RBI base hit, which that would have been another walk-off for Travis Shaw. The Padres were able to bring home the runner from second in the top of the 10th in extra innings. Suter did a great job of limiting the damage to just that one run, giving the Brewers a chance in the bottom of the 10th. And Adames started off the bottom of the 10th with a single, but Keston Hira was stopped at third. There was more good defense by Cronenworth and some questionable base running by Hira, which we'll get to later. But JBJ smoked a ball to second, and Cronenworth snagged it, got up, and somehow still nailed Keston at the plate with ease. It wasn't even close at the plate. But again, I want to dive into more of that in the next segment with Vinny. Then Mark Melissen was able to get the next two hitters out and close it out. But Vinny, this was a frustrating loss because the Brewers got a great effort from Lauer. They had their bullpen set up for the final three innings with Boxberger, Williams, and Hader, who were dominant. I mean, the Padres did nothing against those three. They did have the triple off of Boxberger with two outs, but he was able to get out of that. Williams and Hader did their thing. But the offense couldn't push across a run. So, Vinny, just really frustrating the fact you got the pitching you needed. And I know there's some bad luck in there, but just weren't able to push across that other run before the ninth inning.
It is frustrating. It's frustrating to watch the offense. It's frustrating on many levels. It's frustrating that they're so unlucky, it seems. I mean, I think Tom Hodricourt talked about that they are – Lorenzo Cain especially is one of the most unlucky players in the major leagues with how hard he's hitting some balls, and they're just not finding holes. Willy Adames lined out twice, almost lined out a third time, but it got past Tatis in the 10th inning there. So it's been frustrating on many levels. Yes, it's the team has been really struggling with the bats. Yes, the at-bats have been really poor at times. But also, it's very frustrating because of how unlucky they have gotten. And I know that sounds like an excuse, but when you are in the box, you are struggling that bad. You're kind of desperate for some hits. And even when you're doing everything right, you're still making outs. And that's why it has been frustrating. And that's why the only run that was scored tonight was by the Brewers was a home run by Eric Lauer. And that just saying that is also frustrating. So I'm just frustrated. I'm going to be frustrated until we put up until the Brewers put up about, 12 runs tomorrow, hopefully. But it has been frustrating to watch, and there's multiple reasons why.
Yeah, and again, we'll get into more of that in our second segment. I'm teasing a lot for the second segment, but it's going to be a big one, so make sure you stick around. Before we do that, let me tell you about Wealthfront. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences that you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings today. This episode is also brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. There are so many different makes and models of automobiles these days, it's impossible to stock all the parts your car will ever need in your traditional chain store. So why worry with the hassle of answering a bunch of questions and just hoping they have the parts you need when you have the inventory of rockauto.com right there in your pocket? You can pull them up on your cell phone, find any make and any model of any kind of auto part that you need. And there are so many different reasons to maintain your automobile these days, but obviously the biggest one is to save money. So why choose to spend 30, 50, sometimes even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Just head on over to rockauto.com right there on your phone. Search for the parts you need, buy them, have them shipped to you, and just wait for them to arrive. So go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your vehicle and do us a favor. Write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. So Vinny, I'm going to try to keep it positive in our takeaways today, except for one thing, and that is, what was Keston Hiura doing in the 10th inning? I still have no idea.
I have no clue. I was watching the game with my wife, and even she was like, what is he doing? Why is he hesitating? And actually, she didn't say that, but I told her she should say that after I explained to her what he's doing. I have no idea. I mean, it's unless he thought freeze on a line drive, I mean, he should have stayed. Right. And he should have stayed unless he goes to second base. Then I guess you go, so you stay out of the double play. I guess that, and so it is a little bit complicated, and maybe Jason Lane kind of, so the third base coach tells the runner what he is supposed to do. So line drive, or he would have probably said, hey, ground ball to one of the middle infielders. As soon as they go for the double play, then you go home to stay out of the double play. I don't know. I have no idea. He should have. Either way, you may – Tim Dillard, I just watched him on the pre- and post-game Brewers Live. He said, you got to – and he nailed it. Either you go or you stay. Mm-hmm. Whatever decision you make that decision 100%. You don't go in between, because that's what happens. Or maybe – I mean, is he, what he should have done after he screwed it up is gotten to a rundown, right? So then guy from first base, which was Jackie Bradley. No.
Adamas.
Yeah. Adamas could have, you know, got over to third base at that point. Maybe even Jackie Bradley would have gotten second base. So that was just ugly. And it was just, he almost looked lost, just kind of like he's been looking at the plate in the first 4 weeks of the season. But man, that was a tough play to watch. I gotta be honest, because he should have scored. Or he should have, you know, stayed on third base for a chance for next guy to drive him in with a sac fly. But frustrating.
Yeah, you kind of got to know that going in, right? Like, if you're going on contact, you go on contact. But I understand, you know, the point you brought up, which I really hadn't thought about. Maybe he thought it was a line, you know, line drive is going to be caught, so he froze. And if that's the case, then you stay. Once you see Cronenworth makes the play there, you stay. Or at least freeze long enough, you know, or go down long enough that Cronenworth can't turn the double play. I still don't think, because Cronenworth had to dive for it, he had to look to third. I don't think they get the runner, you know, Jackie Bradley can run. I don't think they turn the double play anyway. I think maybe they just get the out at second. So I think if you hesitate like that, you see Cronenworth make the play, then you just stay. I mean, it was just a wasted out, because, I mean, it was not even close at the plate. He just ran into the tag. Like you said, it would have been better off. He would have just gotten a rundown at that point. and tried to give Adames a chance to get a third. So I don't know what he was doing there. That was really bad, really cost the Brewers in this game. You can say it cost them the game entirely because it would have tied it up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just really bad play all around. Hate it from Keston. Just got called up to have a moment like that. Hope it doesn't wreck his confidence or anything. But these are professional athletes, so hopefully he'll move on to the next day. But that was very bad sequence. Getting into something that was good, because I said I was going to try to keep it positive in this segment today. Eric Lauer was great once again for the Brewers in a spot start. Mentioned the fact after that first inning, he really got rolling. Went six innings, gave up one run on four hits and one walk with six strikeouts. He now has a 2.45 ERA on the year. Again, just has been absolutely amazing when called upon for the Brewers this year. In the month of May, he's made four appearances and been really good outside of one rough outing. May 14th, gave up three runs in three innings, but been very, very solid when called upon, especially after the spring training he had, Benny, where he just looked completely terrible. There had to be some sort of mechanical adjustment made there because he's been really good in these spot starts for the Brewers.
Yeah, he's been really, really good. And what's encouraging from him is the fact that he's like 94, 95 right now with his four seamer. And then he's been able to, so the other thing is he's been able to really command his cutter, and that's been at like 90, and he's really showing the ability to backdoor it. And that's a game changer for me. Eric Lauer is actually a weapon as a starting pitcher if he can command that backdoor cutter. I mean, he froze a couple of guys tonight with it, like 90 miles an hour. It looks like it's outside, and all of a sudden it breaks back over the outside part of the plate. That is encouraging. He's thrown well a few times where it's like, whoa, that's what they traded for. And that's an actual real addition to the starting rotation, especially if they're going to go six man. He just adds another element when he's throwing the ball like that. So the velocity and then the ability to command the cutter for me is what is the separator for Eric Lauer.
Yeah, certainly encouraging. I think it made the move to DFA Lindblom a lot easier, knowing that you have Lauer, who's been dependable for most of the season. And then lastly, I was going to mention the offense and just kind of how unlucky they've been. I don't know if this is a positive, this may be a negative, but they had 10 of the 10 of the 12 hardest hit balls in this game. Which is really crazy. And only even more crazy is that only two of those were hits. One of them was the home run from Lauer, the other a single by Vogelbach in the eighth inning. But they had 10 of the 12 hardest hit balls in this game, and only two of them were hit. And a lot of them had an expected batted average over 500. So just really unfortunate. You know, we mentioned Adames in the lineup that he had in the second inning. He also had a lineout in the fifth inning that left the bat at 106.6 miles per hour with an expected batting average of 670, according to Baseball Savant. So that one is really tough. Yelich had one, hit at 106 miles an hour tonight, tough ground out, couldn't find a hole. So just a lot, you know, really unfortunate. The Jackie Bradley Jr. ground out in the 10th inning, came off the bat at 102.5 miles an hour with an expected batting average of 610. So it's encouraging, Vinny, that they're at least hitting the ball hard. They're just, at least, you know, on this night, we're really unlucky with a lot of the results.
You know, all they got to do is continue to do that, and eventually they're going to holes that somehow try and stay the course, stay with that approach, and those hard hit balls will find holes.
Yeah, for sure. We'll take another quick break, and then we'll quickly take a look at Thursday's game. Want to tell you about Lucy.co. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients, Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, and you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. Locked On MLB Network listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code LOCKEDONMLB to get 20% off all products on your first order, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code LOCKEDONMLB at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. This product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Again, that's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code LOCKEDONMLB. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And even though the football season is over, you got the NBA and NHL and Major League Baseball seasons in full swing. BetOnline.ag does more than that. They also cover awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head on over to BetOnline.ag on your phone or internet browser and sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So, Vinny, the Brewers will try to gain a split of this series on Thursday with a day game. If you'd have told me coming in the series that the Brewers got a split, I certainly would have been happy with that. They haven't gotten that done yet. Had a great chance on Wednesday, but weren't able to come through with it. Pitching matchup on Thursday, the Padres will throw 21-year-older Ryan Weathers, who's been really good, but hasn't gone deep in game, really limiting his pitch count there and his innings limit. But has a 1.48 ERA, really good young pitcher. And then Adrian Hauser is going to try to bounce back from a couple of bad starts there, Vinny.
It's a big game. Yeah, I mean, when you say, and I agree with you, like if you would have had a crystal ball and said the Brewers were going to get a split in this series, you had been ecstatic. But just the way that the two losses in the series kind of went down, like I felt like the first loss, it was like a bunch of just sloppy play and, you know, some walks from Corbin Burns and some pass balls by Omar Narvaez. Just in general, I think there's sloppy play. So that I feel like they could have maybe played a little bit better and won that game, or had a chance to win that game, but it got out of hand at the end there. But, and then tonight's game, it was really frustrating to watch how that poor execution on the bases. And then the fact that, just a bunch of hard hit balls. Like, so you almost feel like, man, a split would be nice, but it just leaves a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth. So it's almost like it's a situation where they have to get this win tomorrow to split the series. I like Hauser's chances to bounce back. I think he'll get it locked back in. I think it's an opportunity for him to learn how to lock it back in to what he was doing before, in terms of just executing pitches and not trying to make his stuff nastier than it needs to be, because it's plenty nasty enough. And all he really has to do is focus on executing. I think this would be a good lesson for him to learn how to get back into that mode. And I think he'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. And the Padres have had to use a good bit of their bullpen the last couple of days. And like I said, Weathers doesn't typically go long in game. So maybe that will work to the Brewers' advantage on Thursday afternoon. But that will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and follow me at Shortstop Ball and Vinny at Vinny Rotino. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.